We're nearly into the second year of the COVID outbreak, and it's transformed clinical practice and healthcare policies. Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva, and here to help me examine the latest trends is Selena Burns. Selena, glad to have you back. Tell us a little bit about your background and your current role here at Vizient.
Hi, glad to be back. And I am, as you know, approaching my four-year anniversary here at Vizient. I lead our financial performance solutions practice, which is really aimed at working with hospitals across the country in all sizes, all size markets, to help with financial performance improvements that span financial and business model optimization, clinical operation effectiveness, and then growth.
Always glad to have you back, Selena. So first, let's look at what's going on in leadership in healthcare. What's the prevailing mood right now among those in the C-suite with the pandemic heading into its second year?
Well, needless to say, the pandemic has been front and center, top of mind. There are certain markets, as you know, as a physician, that have been impacted more severely than others. So it has certainly packed a punch to not only the clinical front line, but also to some extent to the operational and as a corollary to the bottom line. To put that in perspective, we've seen the impacts, obviously, most notably in the need to pivot to virtual care. So prior to the pandemic, as you know, the market largely was still operating in a traditional mode. We now see virtual care in the primary care setting as high as 30 to 50%, depending on market adoption, acceleration into ambulatory. And then in parallel, there is an acceleration led really by CMS and the commercial market to drive to lower cost sites of care.
I see. And I actually concur in reference to 30% on the virtual component, because that's exactly what's happened in my practice. So what's happening in the financial landscape then?
It's kind of mixed news there. So on one hand, many hospitals are operating at the highest level of days cash on hand, in part attributed to the care stimulus monies that were distributed last year post-pandemic, on the heels of the pandemic. However, as we know, that is not a reflection of operational effectiveness necessarily. So much of the conversation that I'm engaging in right now is sort of separating the cash flow tied to care stimulus versus the realities of the day-to-day, notwithstanding the pandemic. And there we continue to see margin erosion, most notably due to the continued acceleration of baby boomers into Medicare. And as you know, Tom, that translates into, you see it in your own practice, a significant reduction in revenue, generally averaging about 50% reduction between commercial and Medicare.
Is it safe to say that the pandemic actually brought to light our secrets in healthcare, particularly in the industry?
Yeah, I think we see that across multiple dimensions, and we're seeing it play out right now with the vaccines. So we definitely have opportunities for improvement in supply and process management related to distribution. Care access clearly is seen as an area of improvement relative to socioeconomic variances and equality. So if we look at the pandemic as adversity can help bring accelerate change, I think that's one of the things we're seeing, particularly in that health equity space.
Yeah. And even prior to the pandemic, there was already a shift towards ambulatory care, but I believe the pandemic actually accelerated that.
It did. And actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because most of the discussion and the focus right now is on operating model redesign relative to where the puck is moving in ambulatory. Prior to the pandemic, approximately 50% of revenue was associated with ambulatory. We are expecting to see that be as high as 60 to 75% over the next 24 months. We're already starting to see that in the kind of second tier size markets, and certainly in the rural communities where I've heard percentages as high as 75 to 80% in ambulatory. So if you think about the amount of investment in the fixed cost institutional four walls and having 60 to 70% of your patient consumer base outside of the four walls, it really brings to light the need for materially changing the business model, oriented not only to ambulatory in the outpatient care settings that we think of traditionally, but also we're hearing more about hospital at home.
Right. You know, when I was in business school, I was told that you always want to work for a health industry or a health organization that has cranes on them. But that's not really the case anymore, is it?
No, it's not. And in fact, if anything, what we're going to start seeing is continued constriction. There is a forecast outlook that is thinking 2021, we might see another wave of consolidation in the form of mergers. And from that, we will begin to see, I think, the beginning of care being more regionalized. And in part, some of that is driven by the need for service line rationalization. In some markets, we have too many service lines per capita.
I certainly see that, even with hospital systems having hospitals and under 10 miles from one another, but offering the very same services.
Exactly. And as you know, more service sometimes translates into higher medically unnecessary utilization.
Yeah. So let's now turn our attention to medical practice. I think physicians and clinicians have borne an excessive burden with documentation requirements, dealing with insurance issues, and other bureaucratic tasks that has kept us away from this one-on-one patient care. Do you believe that's actually changing as well?
I don't know how much it's changing, but it's certainly showing up in the increase in physician burnout that we keep hearing about. And so it is getting more attention. As you know, Tom, there's a movement toward expanding the level of practice administration support by deploying more medical assistants, allowing nurse practitioners to work at top of license to help physicians spend more time with patients in the acute care and chronic care spaces. We're also seeing some awareness around needing to sort of right-size the employed physician contracts and the relationship between the hospital and the physicians, which, based on what we're hearing in the market, there's a lot of interest in attempting to work more closely, have the health system work in closer lockstep with the physicians, and create a situation where the physician has more voice in his or her practice relative to spending as much time with patients and less time with that administrative hat and paperwork.
You know, what we've been hearing consistently in Vizient is not the access to resources in reference to equipment and beds. It's the issue with your clinical workforce. That is the biggest issue right now, in which we believe the team approach to care is a way of solving for that and having people working at top of license. But let's be honest, even among those organizations that have done that, the process has been slow and immensely tedious. What do you think is the underlying cause? Is it physician compensation?
I think we have alignment issues, so I'm not necessarily seeing it based on what we're hearing in the market. And as you know, we have a unique view given the relationship that we have with most hospitals across the country through our member model. We have alignment opportunities, as I was just referencing, between the hospital and physicians. So as you know, 20 years ago, most physicians like yourself were in independent practices. The majority of the market was in an independent practice, and today we see the majority of physicians in employed contracts. So there's been a lot of discussion here of late around productivity and how to improve that. And some of that is in that space you just referred to, aligning the team approach. So ensuring you have the right composition of clinical support within that physician's practice so that he or she can spend more time, again, with patients and less time in clinical documentation mode.
Industry's been dragging in value-based payment as a source of revenue. During the pandemic, organizations that did have a revenue source from value-based care actually fared better than those that were purely dependent on fee-for-service. Do you actually see an honest change or an honest transition to organizations taking value-based payments as a source of revenue?
You know, Tom, I think your characterization regarding the market going kicking and screaming against value-based care, we certainly see that in the market data. So today, roughly 5% of the market is in a true value-based payment methodology that would include up and downside risks. So, and those come in various forms, as you know, capitation being one of the more common. So given CMS's efforts over the last 8 years to lead with various different value-based models and having that translate into a 5% market adoption, I think it's safe to say that the market has not been embracing those reimbursement methodologies. And I don't really see that changing in the foreseeable future. There have been within that 5% a number of physician practices who are non-hospital dependent. So they're independent practices that did fare well under those capitated arrangements because they're not, as you know, volume driven. They're based on outcomes and prepaid reimbursement. Having said all of that, absent any success in the value-based models we see today, the reality is there's a finite amount of resource to continue to pay in the fee-for-service model that we see today. And the projection is that by 2026, Medicare funds as we know them will be depleted. I think that was prior to the pandemic. I think the likelihood of that being sooner than 26 post-pandemic is probably highly likely. And that's the reason why we see CMS and others in the commercial sector driving to lower cost sites of care. And we are hearing more about site neutral payments. So this means that there will be a rationalization happening in that reimbursement equation, where if you get a cardiac catheterization in the hospital, you're going to get paid the same amount for that service as you would the cardiac cath that's three blocks away. Today, the reimbursement is decidedly higher when it's hospital based. And what we're going to start to see acceleration on, absent getting adoption and value based, is in site neutral payments.
Well, we've reached the end of this episode. In the next episode, we'll continue our discussion about transformation in the post-pandemic era. Selena, thanks for joining us in this session. And to our listeners, join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. Also, listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast on the latest in healthcare strategy. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.